Brown Sr., but we just call him Drew. Hey, that's Drew, it. What's happening?
Hey, good morning, Lady T. How are you?
I am good. Now, this young man right here, he specializes. He's in entertainment as well. He's talked with some of the legends and worked with some of the legends. We'll get into that. But he's who makes them all sound good. His specialty is the sound. Mm. I don't care how talented you are. You're in an arena with 10,000 people. You don't have somebody like Drew in your corner. You're going to be doing a lot of refunds because they can't hear you in the back.
We got one of the most important buttons in the house. We can hit mute and unmute.
Ooh. Yeah, let's not get on his bad side. This man said I could just hit mute and it'll be over. Y'all can do whatever. Let's talk about your history, because you're also a musician.
Yes.
You know? So mm-hmm. Let's talk about the fact that you started as a musician. I mean, your family is musical, right?
Yes. It started as a drummer, you know. Still play some drums, you know, especially on some tracks and things. And started out with drums, of course, in high school, in the church, you know, and then morphed into clubs and playing on tour and things like that. So drummer by trade, you know, then morphed over into the sound. Just people always had me do sound, mm-hmm. you know, even when I was doing drums, you know, they'd set the mixer back there with me and say, Drew, do it. And this is back when you had to do the club thing. And, you know, before you had the big systems and stuff, of course, I'd do front of house and everything, too, you know.
Wait a minute. Hold on. Back up. You are drumming. And when you're drumming, it's loud. I mean, you're usually they put a cage of glass in front of you guys because you're just that loud, depending on the venue that you're in, correct?
Yes.
And then, but you're controlling the sound. So how do you do that when you're being muffled out by your own drums? Come on.
Well, you know, it's interesting, of course, coming through. A lot of my playing with live and things like that in clubs was in the 70s. Okay. So everything was loud. You know, when a drummer stuck it back, he's got a big stack of bass next to him and a big stack of guitars. You're stuck in between with drums, you know, of course, too. And interesting enough, of course, you can't really pull that off in a big arena. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But club things, you know, and this is where you perfect some things too. I had to use the effect of having a mixer next to me and how I would listen to how it would bounce off the walls of the mm-hmm. club of you know where I was at, and you're trying to get in a variance of what's going on. If you could hear certain things coming back at you. So it's an expertise. You learn dynamics. So I listen to some drummers, some people that just come out and they just, you know, just going all crazy and stuff like that. When you're working with vocalists and things like that and groups, you have to learn dynamics. You know, you have to learn that type of thing and break it down and, you know, coming through the thing of the, you know, shy lights and you know, my in-laws, the barges and things like that. You have people with soft voices. You have to be respectful for that on stage. You know, mm-hmm. I learned something when I played at the Hollywood Bowl with the Symphonic, LA Symphonic, I think it was. And I had a trap set and they weren't used to having that on the stage. You know, at the Hollywood Bowl, it's all like acoustic, you know, mm-hmm. and so they're used to all of their symphony stuff there. And I was in there with a choir, Zumba Meda and all that stuff like that. And so they set my set in there next to the harps and all these different people. And they're looking at me like, hey, I hope you ain't going to be banging that thing loud. You know what I mean? That's the way they were coming off. But because I learned texture in the church, you know, and things like that, it made it fit in.
Wait a minute now. I know nobody stepped to you because you my brother from Chicago and we don't play that. Yeah, I'm sorry. I wish somebody would. See, y'all gonna make me get on my soapbox. I get on my soapbox a couple of times a day, and don't be stepping to my brother like that.
They tried.
They tried, right? You got that Southside look. And they said, never mind, brother, it's all right, it's all right. Let's talk about modern, current technology. There's all these machines that make all this quote unquote music. Now, before all you musicians write me, because I'm pretty sure Eddie's probably watching out there going, what? You know, I'm just asking the question. Give me a minute. What talent is needed with all this technology? Because I'm listening to some things on the internet. I'm listening to some tracks of music that is new, and they've got everything at their fingertip.
Yes.
And it doesn't sound as good as literally an album from 1975.
Yes.
So what's going on? Are they leaning on technology too much and not learning the skill? Because they need both, don't they?
Yes, you definitely need both. And yes, on all those ones that you were referring to. But it's all about learning. Okay, it's about understanding it. Okay, because I came out of the analog world where my paycheck came from how I could cut tape. You know what I mean? Like, we were working with tape in studio, and of course that's analog, just like a record is analog too, and like tubes and all that other stuff. So we came out of that world, but you know, like the thing that they, one of the most important things I think that's a hindrance is that if you're taking out of school, you're taking out music classes, okay? Because at least in those music classes, it taught a person what an instrument or a vocal really sounds like. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So if my band teacher took me and set me in front of each instrument, so I could hear that sound and know what an oboe sounds like, you know, what a cello sounds like, what a drum, you know what I mean? And all these different things, horns and things like that. The young people have samples, okay? We're in the digital world, okay? Yes. And that's somebody taking a picture of something, you know what I mean? Just like you say, okay, let me get a Polaroid picture. Now a digital picture. And that's what they're using. But they don't understand. Well, I shouldn't say all of them, because I hate generalizing people. Because I, you know, working with people like DJ Quick and some other folks, when they, you know, they studied sound, they respected their elders too. They listened to what we were saying on things and applied it. Mm-hmm. You know, where a lot of these other guys are just getting straight up just sounds from you know, online and things like that. And so do you really know what a guitar really sounds like, you know, or piano, how it's tuned and things like that? So they're missing that part, which all that was with albums and with amps and tubes and things like that. You know, you're getting the algorithms and all that stuff like that. But we're in a thing in a digital world where you got zeros and ones.
Right. You know what I mean? Exactly. It's all zeros and ones.
And it's calculating all the time.
Yep.
And we can tell it, a good sound guy can tell the difference between an MP3 and a wave. You know what I mean? Because a wave is giving you more. Mm-hmm. It's trying to give you more, but everybody says, oh, well, I want the convenience, because, you know, when you get more, it takes up more space.
More space. Exactly.
So they say, okay, well, let's cram it down. We'll take out the importance, some of the not important frequencies. Then you find out those frequencies were important.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because it's affecting the sound.
Yeah.
So it's, you know, it's redundant. So, yeah, that's how we've transferred in this world. My studio here, my room, it's like a hybrid studio. I still keep, you know, I have a tape machine, rarely used, you know, but I got, you know, a lot of digital stuff, but I have a lot of analog things too. You know, like real drums, you know, things like that. And I have, you know, electronic drums and everything too. So I respect both worlds. And I wish that more people would teach young people that, you know, the importance of knowing what a sound is. It's okay if you sample it. It's okay if you take a picture of it, but know what that thing sounds like.
You know, they've taken music pretty much out of the schools. So there's no opportunity to go down the same path you did. Plus technology, everybody is going for convenience versus actual learning the skill levels. So if somebody really wants to learn this, they're like, no, I don't want to do it the easy way. I want to truly learn to master sound. How do they go about doing that now?
Well, you know, of course, a lot of times, I guess my on the job training, as you would call it, I didn't go to like some of these studio schools, you know, right. that they had. Mine was actually working with artists in the studio, on the job training, you know what I mean? And of course, applying, like I said, what I learned in when I was younger, listening to instruments and stuff. So studios are still open. We got a lot of them closing because of you know, of course, COVID has put a damper on things. But it was on a spin, a downward spin before the thing happened because, you know, people are going so much digital now and they're able to do it in their house and things like that and putting it out like that. So, you know, I think that if I'm actually trying to set up some things on my site, I'm looking at this and I'm glad you brought that up, where I would have some of that type of training.
Yeah, you know that's what I mean? Perfect. That's what they need is a legend like you, you know,
to be able to teach
courses like that because you can't find it. I mean, I do some things that people ask me, how'd you do that? How'd you do this? And mm-hmm. it's like, I have to teach you because there's no classes out there for that.
Yeah.
And now, you know, budgets are being cut everywhere. Everybody's restructuring. They're using that word I cannot stand, pivot. And they're getting things kind of lost. And because of technology, you and I are a yin and yang. You know, I'm all about the video and the media.
Yes.
You're all about the sound.
Yes.
And if, you know, it doesn't matter how clear my face is or how great the video is. If the ding dang thing is quiet or got static in it, y'all not watching it. It's
That's
just
right.
the way it is.
That's
You've
right.
got to understand sound. And, you know, you're in our summit as well. And I'm so happy for that. We get way into, you know, your history because you've worked with people like Gladys Knight. You've worked with Switch. We got to talk about Eddie. You know, you dropped that your in-laws out of DeBarge's. Yeah. You know, you have been out there for a minute or two.
Yes.
Doing what it is that you do. And we're going to get way into how to apply, you know, sound practices, pun intended, for even your business videos.
Yes.
For what we're doing right now in the summit and beyond. How do they find you, Drew? How do they get in touch with you?
Well, you know, the best way to get a hold of me is you know, go to my website, brownsoundent.com. That's for brownsoundentertainment.com. And you can see my, you know, I have my email addresses there, my phone number and things like that. So, you know, if you go to that and I am actually going to be adding more to that, like we're talking about for training and things like that, you know, to help people out, you know. And you know what? I wanted to rewind a little bit, too, when you were talking about the video part of it, because, you know, I've worked with some, you know, TV shows. I did the inserts for the last part of Different World and Time to Kill had some stuff on that and House Party and all that stuff like that. So as a sound person, you know that you have to work neck and neck with video at all times. Mm-hmm. You have to because both of them work together. If you got a video and you got no sound, you're in trouble. Or if you got sound and somebody's saying, well, look at this and blah, 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 you got no video. Yep. So they both have to marry, you know, and, you know, with our SMPTE and things that we've done like that and the way we align stuff. That's why it's important to have both of those together. You know, when I go to like, of course, I go to NAMM shows, but I went to some NAB shows and just the video stuff that's just unbelievable, 8K, you know, and things I've seen with video that you know, I couldn't believe it. I'm watching it with my eyes and they're showing you what they're really doing. That's going to thing. You're going, man, you know, what you see is not what it really is. You know, we're in a virtual world where they can change the whole thing.
Exactly. You know what I mean?
And sound is the same way. Sound is exactly the same way. So, you know, I think if more people, young people, learn what the sound is, it's okay electronically that you're sticking it in places and doing it to help people, because that's all part of our convenience coming around. You know what I'm saying?
Yep, so, I totally understand what you're saying. So let's give them your website, because I know you got to get out of here.
Yes.
And I thank you for your 15 minutes of fame, because I needed this, man. I need people to understand sound. Plus, yeah, you're my brother from Chicago, that's and we right. got to stick that's together. How do they find you again?
Yes, you can find me at www.brownsoundent.com.
Okay. Thank you so much, sir. You are a part of our summit, and you're definitely a part of our inner circle. Thank you for your time, and I'll talk to you soon.
All right. See you later, T. Have a good day.
Bye-bye. You too.